Welcome to the Spencer FC Podcast!
All right, mate, how you doing? Welcome back to another Spencer FC Podcast. It's the sixth one today. I've got two very special guests. Before we introduce them, though, let's talk quickly about DreamTeamFC.com, who are the sponsors of this podcast. Got another article going up on there this week. We talk about the Ballon d'Or, who's going to win future Ballon d'Ors. We talk about the FA Cup, lots of stuff on there. So make sure you check it out, DreamTeamFC.com. Right then. Today, two guests with me. Thank you for joining me, gentlemen. Both comedians, as well as... you've both actually been in a FIFA video we're going to talk about later on, actually. But one more than the other. But let's start with you Reese. Reese James is here. How you doing, Reese?
I'm very well, thank you, Spencer. How are you?
Very good, thanks for asking. Thank you for joining us here. Spurs fan.
Big time.
We're going to talk about that later. Talk about what else you're up to and learn more about Reese James, the man, the myth, the legend. And, of course, we're joined by Lloyd Griffith as well.
Hello.
Lloyd, now you are, if someone wasn't familiar with you from a comedy perspective,
yeah,
or your singing career as well.
Okay.
Would you say a career? Would you say it's a career?
Yeah, I'd say it's a career. Yeah. Yeah.
Singing hobby.
They almost certainly will have been aware of you if they're a FIFA fan from this video you made. I don't even know if we can call it a video, call it a film, can't we?
It's like a mini documentary.
23 yeah. minutes long, was it?
Yeah, 23:04, I think.
Called The Quest for the Best.
Yep.
Where you essentially, well, do you want to describe it for me? What happens there?
So basically, I went on the quest to find the 11 best players from around the world. So it's the team of the year, which obviously will be is in conjunction with the Ballon d'Or.
Yep. And so
I went around Europe interviewing various different footballers, football coaches, statisticians, players, asking them who they think the best players in the world are to then assemble this team of the year. Because the Ballon d'Or is only, you know, it's one, two, three horse race, really.
Yeah.
So this is to establish who the other best players are in the world, because no one really says a defender or a goalkeeper is the best player in the world at the moment because of the likes of Messi, Neymar, and what's the other guy?
I don't know, Ronnie something.
Hey.
Yeah.
Ronaldo, yeah. I think.
So it was a 23-minute film, went out on Sky Sports last week. It's online on the EA FIFA channel, on YouTube, and it's being played this week on Sky Sports as well.
And it's in the game.
It is in the game. Okay.
We share something. We both got videos in the game.
You're above me, aren't you? On the right-hand side.
Well, I think
depends.
You can watch yours in the main menu,
yeah,
which is a pretty big deal. Mine's in the Ultimate Team menu, so you've got one
wow.
up. Yeah, you're bossing me on that.
So people who aren't even into Ultimate Team and aren't even into Team of the Year are forced to watch this guy. And it's not even the best clip that I'm in.
Yeah.
It's the boring stuff. He's talking to footballers and stuff.
Yeah. But on that bit, though, I obviously... What was the first FIFA you ever played?
FIFA 98, World Cup.
I played 96, yeah, which was like the weirdest game ever. Then 98 was the one. 98 was Blur Song 2, is that right?
Yeah, yeah. The one with the indoor pitch as well.
Indoor pitch, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So 98 was the first. You were 3 years old, weren't you, Reese?
No
I think.
Way.
I've played FIFA since FIFA 98. To then be in the game.
Crazy.
I mean, it's... And I didn't even realise I was until my friend played it. And they're like, oh, mate, just so you know, you're in the game.
Yeah, that was me. I mean, still, you're refusing to give me credit. I know one who texted you a picture of you in the
discovered
game.
It.
I honestly genuinely thought it was my 10-year-old cousin that texted me.
No, it was your 10-year-old friend, Reece James.
But to be in that is a great achievement, and you know it's quite nice that we're up and down each other on the game.
I mean, I had this very similar experience. Mine was like a slow preparation for being in the game because I'm the voice of the tutorials this year. So I did a voiceover for them nearly a year ago.
Yeah,
and then but no one told me they were going to be in the game. I thought it was for like their YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And then someone tweeted me, this is you in the game. I was like, what? I did no preparation for it whatsoever. Exactly. And so I was a bit like overwhelmed by that. And that was just my voice. And then having this new thing we're doing on in Ultimate Team at the moment with EA, this thing called Fuck Possible. It's like this mission they set us. That's in there as well. So it's crazy.
It sounds great being in the game, guys.
Maybe
sounds fantastic.
Well, to be fair, yeah, you're in the video, but your segment of the video isn't
in the
game.
So Reese
is in my bit of the game as well, just so people but also because it's EA Sports, it's quite nice going, I'm in the game.
Exactly, yeah. It's the perfect tagline, I'm in the game. Well, let's start talking more about that video before we move on to other things. How did that all come about?
It was genuinely them asking me if I wanted to do the job. EA Sports contacted me, said, we've got this idea, we're thinking about doing it, would you be up for doing it? So I went over to Amsterdam, we brainstormed a few ideas, talked about who we should speak to. They already had some contacts. In fact, let's be honest, they had most of the contacts.
You brought Messi to the table.
I brought Messi, Giggs and Neville, and they brought Alama, and we had a great time. So it truly came about like that. They were looking for a football fan who's a comedian, who'd be able to speak to all these people. Looking at a bit of experience of doing, you know, football interviews from my own stuff. The other thing they really liked as well is the fact that I supported Grimsby Town, who aren't in the game.
Yeah.
So there was a nice neutrality to it in that I wasn't going to go, oh, I want all Man United or all Newcastle or all Spurs players in. So that's how it came about. And then we started in October. And it finished, the last day was when we filmed with Lionel Messi on the 2nd of December.
What a finish. What was he like?
Lovely bloke.
Yeah. How much time did you get? Because I've done a few things with footballers. Sometimes you get a good amount of time, sometimes you get about 20 seconds.
We had about 2 hours.
Really? That's decent.
And a lot of people are surprised by that. A lot of people, you know, he's the world's greatest footballer and he isn't an actor. So I think a lot of people, you know, he doesn't want, you know, he wants to play football.
Exactly.
He's a true footballer. In that he grew up in Argentina, wanted to play football, isn't an actor. So people go, oh, why is he getting a bit touchy or why doesn't he want to do this acting? Because that's not his job. It's a side thing that has happened because of the job. But he was lovely. He turned up for 2 hours. His acting was actually brilliant. Mm. And we got on quite well for a couple that don't speak each other's language. So I can't speak Spanish, he can't speak English, which meant that I couldn't make a fool of myself, which was ideal.
Yeah.
Not in the moment, but we've all seen the film, mate.
Yeah.
How did it work though? I don't understand. So he could not understand what you were saying.
No.
And you couldn't understand what he was
saying.
Well,
you had a good reference to that in the film though, when you talked to the scout and you're I can't say it, but I understand everything.
So I can't speak Spanish, but I understand absolutely everything. So when it came to the Messi part, it kind of fit in that then I just understood what
he was
saying.
But in the actual filming, because I know that's not true.
Okay, so what happened was I asked the question. And then there's a little tiny break, and the assistant director, who was Spanish, answered the question. But he knew what the question was anyway, so I just said it in English and just answered it.
So were you involved in writing any of that stuff? Like
and a lot of it was, you know, this is what we wanted to get across, and these were the areas that we wanted to ask people. So with Messi, we wanted to ask about the formation. With Ekinfen, we wanted to speak about people with innate special abilities, so like the strongest, the most agile, the beasts. He was great with that. With Giggs and Neville, we want to talk about the left wingers and right backs. So they were we structured what we wanted to talk about, but then really it was just open conversation as to who they thought were the best players. And that's why I chose those players, because there are some people in there you think, why have you gone with Jagielka? And let's be honest, that is probably the most glaring player that people go, I wouldn't necessarily say
about, isn't it?
He's the best centre-back in the world. But then Duncan Alexander, who is this... stat guy from Opta, who is absolutely brilliant. Yeah. Do you follow him on Twitter?
I've seen him in a few different videos before, and I follow up the Opta stuff. Yeah, and that's
great.
He gave you an insight.
He's got great insight. He's Oily Sailor on Twitter, I think it's called. And some of his tweets are absolutely brilliant. My favourite one, and this is going to annoy you, is his tweet last year said, if Grimsby still play conference football for the next 10 years, they will have still played more league games than Tottenham.
Really?
That's a good little stat.
Well,
so is that in to say that Grimsby are one of the most present teams in league football?
Even though we went out in 2011, I think.
You know what? As a Spurs fan, I'm happy for you to have that stat.
Keep it, mate.
You can have that.
But Duncan Alexander was great in offering an insight and real insight into how teams work as well. Jagielka is the busiest defender in Europe.
Yeah.
And just think, if he played for Barcelona... Which could happen.
That's the great thing about stats. You can argue it either way, because you can say, if he's busy, does that mean that he's got a bad midfield in front of him and he's having to do loads of work, or does it mean he's just really good?
He's really good. But then if you put him in front, if you put him behind a really good midfield, how good would he be? So you don't...
He'd be less busy, that's for sure.
Yeah, he'd be less busy. Exactly. So we spoke to all those, but I did a lot of the writing with it, and so it was a lovely opportunity to be involved with.
Yeah, it's amazing. If you haven't seen it, guys, make sure you check it out. I guess the best way to find it, go on YouTube, type in Quest for the Best FIFA.
Yeah, Quest for the Best FIFA, or, you know, Team of the Year.
Team of the Year, it'll come up, It's everywhere. It's everywhere. If you haven't seen it, you should have seen it, guys. Before we finish talking about that, though, Rhys, you were in it.
Yeah.
Not just Mark Smith as well, was it?
Mark Smith.
And Martin Gritton as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm guessing you guys are quite good friends anyway, right?
Yeah.
So how did that come about? Did you, was it a case of Lloyd saying, I need some people to be in it?
Rhys, I really need someone to play my friend. And I said, that's going to be too much of an acting leap for me, mate. No, that's what, he called me up and he said, I want you and Mark. They want a variety of age-looking people to be my mates. And they just said, just come spend a few days in Cleethorpes, which again, I wasn't too keen on. So I said, all right, mate. And then he said that Lloyd said we were also going to do a gig, and we ended up doing a stand-up gig for the Mariners Trust to raise funds for that, which was an absolute... was great.
Yeah.
The scenario was an absolute nightmare because it was meant to be Lloyd hosting an evening of Lloyd Griffith and Friends, sort of local... I don't want to use the word celeb, but I'm going to have to in this context. Hosting an evening...
By all means, do.
Hosting an evening with, like, his mates who have been doing this film with him to do some stand-up and all that sort of stuff, and also the comedian Vicky Stone, who came up to do it.
Yep.
But then the Gigs and Neville interview ended up being on the same day, and that was in Manchester.
Yeah, yeah.
And they thought it was going to be at like 2 p.m. or something, so he'd easily get back to Cleethorpes in time to do this gig at the Grimsby Stadium. I mean, not on the pitch, but in a suite
next
at the Grimsby
year.
Stadium.
Yeah. Dreams.
Yeah, if we could sell some more tickets. But then it ended up being at like 4 o'clock, 6 o'clock,
six o'clock
like that.
Well, I was going to bring that up because I was actually at that. So we crossed paths, but didn't actually see each other because I did a video with them for my channel.
Oh, so did you were at the
Museum of Football? Yeah.
Oh,
so,
really?
Because I knew it was the same day because they're wearing the same clothes.
Right.
In your thing as they were in mine.
And also, Neville says the same joke
about awareness.
Videos. Yeah,
about
awareness is the same joke.
I saw that.
Because I said to him in my one, I said I was asking Giggs to pick his best player because Neville picked Giggs is one of the best players I've ever played with.
Yeah.
And he asked Giggs to say the best players he'd ever played with. He didn't obviously say Neville. And I said, oh, well, Giggs didn't say you, Gary. And he was like, no, I've got awareness. But he said the same line in your one.
Exactly the
but,
same
but
line.
I mean, I don't feel bad because I feel like Gary probably gets that sort of line thrown at him a lot about him not being as good as Giggsy. So it's good to have some
I'm not going to have a go at someone for repeating jokes.
I was about to say the exact same joke about your material. Yeah. But, so you were there. But the Museum of Football was great, isn't it? I've never been before. Have you been before?
That was my first time as well.
So they did a tournament there, is that right? Did they do a tournament or do a talk?
They did a few things. They made a video for FIFA, which was them making their team, their ultimate team, based up of legends, because they're both legend cards in the game. I did a video with them for my channel, and then I hosted a Q&A with them, which had competition winners asking questions about football, basically. It's just like a 20-minute chat.
And you were downstairs, you had the trophies there as well, didn't you?
With the trophies there. I think part of probably what you're talking about, Rhys, with your sort of communication, the logistics issues with your gig, is that I think Gary was running late that day.
Yeah, he was, yeah.
Which meant loads of things got pushed down and probably made it hard for you to do what you had to do.
Lloyd was so late and he had to get to this gig, and the guys at EA felt so guilty that they inquired and got a quote for a chopper. To get Lloyd
Uber chopper, you get, can do Uber chopper.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, split fare. quite to get him to the gig in time. Obviously, they realised we also got to get to an airport, which is going to take too long.
Yeah,
They inquired. They asked if the floodlights can come on at Blundell Park to see if we could land at Blundell
land
Park. I was like, I can't do a charity gig at Blundell Park and just land
on the pitch.
Quite blazing. You'd be like, hello guys, how are you doing? Sorry about that, I'm just doing me chopper.
The same bloke I always was. I'm salt of the earth.
We were raising money for Operation Promotion, which I think you had a little foot in, which I think...
Well, I was going to talk to you about that, actually. Yeah, Operation Promotion. So as a Grimsby fan, you guys just missed out on promotion last year, didn't you, at Wembley?
One kick at Wembley, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Penalty kick.
Horrible. I've had the same thing as West Ham fan. We lost against Palace one year. We did go out the next year, so it was all good in the end. But what was really great, we made an episode about this on Copper Night in a show I used to present called The Rail, it was all about fan-owned clubs and stuff and things that fans have done to help their clubs. And Operation Promotion, as they called it, was basically a way of turning a negative into a positive. You guys missed out on promotion, didn't want that to happen again, wanted to make sure you went up. So your fans created this thing, the Mariners Trust, I believe, Operation Promotion, where you basically tried to make a transfer kit for the club.
Yeah.
I think the target was 20,000. And when I went up there, they had 111.
Yeah.
So they absolutely smashed it.
So the target was 20,000 to give to the manager, Paul Hurst. And we'd aim to raise that in 6 weeks, I think. We raised that in a day.
Crazy.
So then the idea was to then extend it and see how much we can get. And in the end, I think we managed to get... I think it was 110 grand. We actually managed... The final total was 110 or 111 grand. So that was like the final figure, which is great. And it meant that we were able to afford Omar Bogle, who I'm sure you're...
Big name.
From Solihull Moors, who's been great this season.
Yeah.
And
so is that he was explicitly bought with that money?
So I do a podcast called The Cod Pod, and there's a chap on there called Tom Farmer. He's a journalist. He revealed that it actually cost 50 grand for Omar Bogle. Okay. So that came from that pot of money, and he's been a great striker this season. He scored, I think he scored like 10 or 14 goals maybe, but he's been an amazing link-up play for our main scorer, Podge Amond, who scored 3 goals in 30 minutes on Saturday. We were 0-0 at our time and
Podge,
scored.
Great guy. He was sat in the front row at the gig we did.
He sat in the front row of the gig, yeah.
Yeah, and also Mark Smith ended up having to host the gig because Lloyd was late, so he closed it. Mark, not knowing anything about Grimsby, went on stage, started chatting to the audience as a compere often does, and two blokes in the front row went, "What do you do for a living?" Whole crowd went mad because like, that's our star striker, mate. Yeah. Top scorer.
The funny thing was
that's
then,
good that he was there, though.
Mark Smith.
Yeah, night before a game, though. So. A bit unprofessional, mate.
Did they win the game?
Or? Let's not talk about that.
Yeah, they didn't.
So,
he was on the water, to be fair.
Lost 1-0 to Cheltenham. But it was quite funny. Mark said, "Are you any good?" He's like, "I've scored 14 goals already this season." I was like, "We're only in October." He's like, "I know."
So
he scored 20 in the league on Saturday. So we got him on a free. But again, that money was able to, you know, give Paul Hurst the flexibility to bring in other players. I'm sure it wasn't just spent on fees, but also wages. But so it's lovely that, you know, a club like Grimsby can do that. And
it's a great, great idea.
It's a lovely idea.
Obviously, technically, it's only a success if you get promoted, so we can't judge it yet. But are you sitting third in the league, I think, at the moment?
We're sitting third in the league, yeah. We're about 8 points off Cheltenham, who are leading, and then there's Forest Green.
Because that game you lost to Cheltenham after the gig.
Yeah,
it's a 6-point game in the end.
So the gig is basically touch your right up, isn't it?
I mean, I'd like to move on if that's all right.
You could see Podge's ribs were aching from laughing too much the night before. He just wasn't he wasn't on the ball.
I think he said particularly in the Reece James segment
as well.
I remember that in the interview.
From standing up with all his standing ovations, you know, he knackered his legs out.
Okay.
Well, we'll move on to that, but Operation Promotion could definitely be a success.
Yeah,
sitting
it's
in third, and also, whether it's via the playoffs or not.
And if there's any other teams out there that are thinking, can we do anything for our football team? I think every fan can. You know, and if we were to get together, we raised 110 grand in, you know, 6-8 weeks. It's certainly doable. So if you're a team that's in need, then fans can definitely help.
I think it's something that at the top levels is seen as unnecessary.
Yeah, of course it is.
Because obviously all the money that's
1 week's salary for a player.
Well, I mean, it's relative, though, isn't it? Because say Arsenal did it. They could theoretically raise millions. However, they shouldn't need to because they're getting so much money in TV rights and whatnot. But at the lower levels,
charging that much for a ticket, if you also expect donations,
it's
going to kick off.
Almost criminal.
But at a lower level, it can have a massive effect. I mean, even if you just hit the 20 grand, that would have still helped. But,
And it's small things like you guys going up there to talk about it was massive. I mean, because we wouldn't have had that kind of like publicity anyway. So thanks for going up, mate.
My pleasure, mate.
Did you enjoy the game?
I did. We didn't get to stay for the whole game. When I left, it was 1-0. I think you ended up winning, didn't you?
3-1 against Huddersfield.
Yeah. But no, it was lovely, mate. Lovely. Nice part of the
next
world.
Next time, we'll go up together and I'll take you to Steele's Fish and Chips, which is, Reece can vouch for it. It's in the film, in the FIFA film, an incredible fish and chip shop.
Genuinely excellent, yeah.
Is it?
Incredible. I'll take you up there.
So that sounds great, mate. So I'm guessing are you born and bred Grimsby?
Yeah, born and bred Grimsby, yeah.
So, and is there any other team, who's a big rival team up there that you could support?
Not really. Like, there's Lincoln down the road, who I'd rather do other stuff than support Lincoln.
Very diplomatic.
Hull, they don't really see us as rivals. They see us as a pain in the backside.
Yeah.
And also Scunthorpe.
Okay. And have you ever had a, for want of a better word, bigger team that you've associated yourself with? Have you always just been a Grimsby
fan? I had an 18-month fling when I was 9 years old with Manchester United.
Okay.
Because my cousin used to work for them. So I used to go and see them for about a season. I saw about 10, 12 home games at Old Trafford and I loved it, but at the same time I didn't really feel like it was for me. It was like almost like going out with a really attractive girlfriend. You're going, I mean,
unrealistic for you.
Unrealistic. No, not for me. No, I'm just saying hypothetically, like, I could if I wanted to. I am
hypothetically is how you'd greet an attractive woman. Yeah.
So anyway, I thought, you know what, I'm going to go back to the Bruiser. I'm going out with Grimsby. It was lovely though, and I met Eric Cantona, which, you know, I'm over the moon about. But
the thing about Grimsby as well is it's not, you've got a really good stadium. Like, you've got a thing because you've been in higher leagues as well in the past.
Yeah.
And you've a long established name in football. You've got a kind of bigger club mentality.
Yep.
And similar to a club that I've done a lot of stuff with in Spain called Real Oviedo.
They're great, aren't they?
They fell from a high place, and so when I started working with them and they were quite low down, it was like a big club but would let you do anything with them in terms of making videos and stuff, which you never get at a big club. Like, you've taken a penalty on the Grimsby pitch. I've seen that.
So
you're going goal for it, actually, or did you take it? You're a keeper, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm a keeper. I played in goal for the Grimsby Town Chairman's 11, which is great. I've done videos of tours round Blundell Park.
Did you keep a clean sheet?
No, we won 6-3.
Oh, you won? Okay, as long as you won.
I was happy with. I've just been invited back to do the next one, which is on the 2nd of February, and I'm over the moon about it.
Nice.
And then, yeah, they let us do videos, which if I supported, say, someone like Man United or Liverpool, I probably wouldn't be able to do. So
yeah.
It's an advantage and it's an honour, really.
And Reece, how did you end up as a Spurs fan? Is that a locational thing?
More of a family thing.
Okay.
Passed down. The affliction was passed down from generations. It's only just starting to pay off. And even then, is it? Who knows?
This year it could do.
It's all right at the moment. I'm enjoying it at the moment. Yeah, it's just a family thing. To be honest, I think it comes from a glory hunting granddad when we were back in our...
Oh, really?
Back in our... When he was in his salad days was when we were winning everything. But now...
See, does that count? Because... If you were to say you were a glory hunter now, not that you would be a Spurs fan, but let's say you were a Man City fan or whatever,
right?
We'd all be like frowning upon it. But even if your granddad was a glory hunter or whoever was generations ago, it doesn't matter now because it's gone through the filter.
Exactly,
I've not. Now safe.
Yeah, yeah. So I technically am not, and he maybe isn't, but it probably was that at the time that he got into football, we were the club that was winning stuff.
Yeah,
That is. The dates match up.
Okay, right.
So even if he claims that's
you
not the case.
Who do you think you are?
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. And
but do you know the last time that Grimsby played Spurs?
Oh, this is
really?
Ridiculous. Right.
When did Grimsby win?
I went to Cleethorpes for 3 days, right? This guy, by the way, went around the most beautiful parts of Europe, right? He was on a mountain in Sicily. I filmed in that video. And I went to Cleethorpes for 3 days where it rained constantly.
But you had some lovely fish and chips.
Oh, yeah, but I had to pretend to eat it because I was acting. Anyway, and then everyone there goes, who do you support? I say Spurs. Every single person goes, oh, unlucky. And then brings up a match they won that I don't even remember.
They had the last
25
half.
Years ago.
No, it was 2006. Carling Cup. It was, I think, 25th of September, if I can remember rightly.
This is pathetic. This is absolutely pathetic.
I mean, the fact that this is like when we beat you 3-0, we brought out a DVD.
Yeah.
Oh, we brought out a DVD. Yeah. We brought out a trilogy of DVDs. We just split this half up into three. We won 1-0. John Paul Kamada Mukalala scored in the 88th minute. And like Tottenham put out a big team. That's why we remember it. You obviously don't remember it. But when you're a small club, well, we're a big club, but you know, when you're in the conference and you beat a team like Tottenham, you dine out on it for about 30 years.
You have to. You have to take the little things.
It's all we've
got. Clear to me.
Well, I mean, we should talk about Spurs this year because y'all having a really good season. Most recently, FA Cup against Leicester on the weekend.
Yeah,
which could have gone either way because Leicester did not field their strongest team. Guys didn't either.
No.
But like, obviously, the whole thing with Leicester this year is that their main men, you know, when they've got Mahrez, who's on the bench, Vardy, who's out at the moment, when they've got those guys on, they can beat technically anyone.
Yeah.
So it could have been a slip up, but I sort of expected you guys to do a job on them because they played such a weaker team.
Me
but they came out and they did all right.
Yeah, I thought they were great. They played Kante and he is just a revelation, isn't it?
Would you like to
incredible.
See him at Spurs?
Absolutely, I would love to.
Who brought him in? Did Ranieri bring him in, or did?
Well, he came in the summer, but I don't know if it was Ranieri.
Yeah.
If it was a preordained
thing.
Okay,
that's a find, isn't it?
It's a real find. I mean, the fact that they played him and we didn't have Dembele means that he was able to boss the game. Basically, that said, we did still have 73% possession or something like that.
Yeah. But Leicester play on the counter this year, anyway.
But they massively set up with 10 behind the ball, and it was. They made it very difficult for us, and not playing, there were certain players that we weren't playing from the start of the game that made it hard for us to break it down, because whenever we've had played a team like that this year, the only way we've broken them down is Toby Alderweireld kicking it to Dele Alli with a perfect through ball, and Dele Alli wasn't on the pitch until the 75th minute or something, and then as soon as he came on, that ball did happen, and that was our best chance of the game probably.
I just heard from our producer Maya that Kante was a Ranieri signing. So top works to Ranieri.
That's an unbelievable signing. Yeah.
But I have to say, when Ranieri came in, a lot of eyebrows were raised.
Mine were definitely raised. An interesting
decision. And then just that sentence you said, you know what I mean? On their day, Leicester can be anyone, and that isn't a sentence that you or anyone probably would have said this time last year.
I'm still on the fence about Ranieri. I'm not saying he's obviously doing an amazing job, because whether he's completely, he should deserve all the credit, or whether he's kind of fallen into a system that's working really well, he still hasn't disrupted it, so he still deserves credit. But I think they are the best team in England for the whole calendar year, aren't they?
Oh yeah, at the moment, yeah.
So like, in terms of Pearson's second half of the season, he's doing a good job as well.
Because when they used to do the league tables, I mean, if the league started in January up until kind of April or May, he'd had a great season.
Yeah.
So calendar year, I mean, Leicester arguably probably one of the best teams in Europe as well this calendar year. But I saw a lot of bit on Twitter last night, and you were getting sticks. You know, people saying, "Oh, the Leicester put their reserve team out against Spurs."
Who had also put their reserve team out
to a certain extent, yeah. But again, it kind of
we had the same amount of first 11 players as each other.
But don't worry, mate. So you're under attack.
You sound very defensive.
I've just Tom Davis, who is a West Ham fan, was just
good man. I like him already.
Yeah, I like him a lot as well. But he was not anymore. He was winding me up. Anyway. He was claiming that Heung-Min Son was one of our starting 11. I mean, he's not started a game this season. Anyway,
he could be. He's a big transfer, though.
Yeah, he was a big transfer.
But then so was Gökhan Inler for Leicester. And he's not been starting.
Exactly. And he did start. I'm not looking forward to the replay. I'm not looking forward to playing them on Wednesday.
Yeah.
They make me very nervous.
A lot of Tottenham Leicester coming up for the neutral.
There's a lot of Tottenham Leicester,
also,
mate.
I think Vardy will be fit by the end of the week, or maybe is it 2 weeks?
He might be back for Wednesday.
They said he could make it back for that.
And Mahrez will play that game.
Yes.
But we'll play better defence. I mean, hopefully we'll play Ben Davies.
It'll be interesting to see what happens. If you draw again, then that'll set up the replay as a nice little decider. But the big thing with the FA Cup, obviously, is the fact that you guys did play that team and they also played that team. Does that symbolise something bigger in the FA Cup this year? Well, not just this year, but recently, that the teams aren't, you know, because it's just its third round, but it's Premier League versus Premier League.
Yeah.
It's not only Premier League versus Premier League, it's two of the best teams in the Premier League right now playing. In 4 years, you could argue that would have been a play our best team situation. Now, do you think the fact that you're playing them again on Wednesday so soon, do you think there was an element of not wanting to show their cards too quickly and play a different system/team? Or do you think it is the fact that the FA Cup is less important to both teams?
I think it's a bit of both, to be honest. And I think Pochettino also has made a lot of promises to people like Vorm and like Wimmer that you will get the cup games.
Yep.
So he kind of can't now go back on it. Even you go, oh, we've drawn Leicester. Because you're expecting third round it to be a slightly easier team.
Yeah.
Or just a team lower down. They're never easy. But I think he's made those promises because everyone wanted Lloris to play. Because of what happened last year is we had got Leicester in the fourth round of the FA Cup and then Vorm spilled it in the 91st minute or something and schlup got on the winner. And everyone was just thinking this is going to be a repeat of that. And then we got a penalty that we probably didn't deserve. That
I think it did.
Like, I'm not 100%.
Debatable.
It was unfortunate
for him. It was unfortunate for him, but the ball hit his hand in
the area.
It
did hit
his
hand, which was raised.
And had it not, it might have fallen through. So, as the rules are written, sadly, it is a penalty. But
as you saying it.
Me
agreeing. It definitely was.
What do you think? Sorry to butt in, but what do you think Spurs is? Their priorities are for this season. Do you think it is? Do you realistically think you've got a chance with the title? Are you aiming for top four, or do you think the FA Cup is a more reasonable target?
I think the aim at Spurs from the players and staff is top four.
Yeah.
I don't think we have a realistic chance of the title, but I don't see a reason not to just try and win every game and see how many points you end up with in a sort of shoot for the moon sense.
Yeah.
I don't mind all this transfer talk. I mean, not transfer talk, all this title talk that people like, even like Souness is doing now. And I just think, as long as it's not anyone at Spurs saying it, as long as it is other people saying it about Spurs, from saying they played like this, so look, they could maybe go for the title. As long as no one at Spurs is going, we are going to win the title.
Yeah.
Because then it's just ridiculous.
The thing is, in any other year, you'd have like Chelsea breathing down your neck, you'd have Liverpool higher up, you know, Man United would be scoring more goals. So there's a little bit more pressure. Same with Arsenal. It's like, if Arsenal don't win the league this year, they're never going to win it.
Exactly, yeah. And I feel the same with us in top four.
Yeah.
If we still don't get top four this year, then we need to accept who we are.
What do you think the future holds for Spurs in a more generic sense? Like Harry Kane, obviously got that last minute equaliser for you.
Yeah.
Can you keep him long term? Is it going to be another Gareth Bale? I'm not saying he's going to go to Madrid, but your best player, like Modric before Bale as well, is he going to go to someone like, you know, probably a Man United or someone like that? Or do you think you can keep him for his entire career? He's a local boy.
I don't know about entire career. I think we can for longer than we did with Bale, because I think it's a different situation at Spurs now, because it feels like much more of a community than it's ever felt in my lifetime at Spurs. Like, everyone seems like they're mates. Everyone really seems to subscribe to Pochettino's philosophy. And Bale loved AVB, but like, it wasn't like everyone did. and it wasn't quite the same. So all the fans are massively behind this squad. All the fans are massively behind Pochettino. No one would be calling for Pochettino to leave. All the players seem to be massively backing him. Everyone seems to be mates. They're all posting pictures on Instagram of them having dinner parties with each other. I wouldn't want to be having a dinner party with Kyle Walker.
Why not?
I would not be up for that.
You don't want to go dog walking with him.
Yeah, exactly. But they all seem, well, I can see Harry Kane. He seems to be loving it.
Do you think it helps that you've got this similar to what West Ham had about 10 years ago, this group that have come through the academy together?
Yeah.
You've got Kane, you've got Mason, you've got Carroll now playing a lot. You've got, he's not through the academy, but another youngster, Dele Alli, a lot of young English guys.
Yeah.
Nice little group doing a lot of international duty together as well.
That's one of the reasons I think Kane will stay quite a while, is because I can't see him going to an English club and he wants to get his England career properly solidified when Rooney retires, which hopefully he will soon. Harry Kane wants to become the main man. So if he does go abroad, that's going to become slightly more difficult.
Yeah.
So I can't see him going to Man United, no matter how many rumours there are. I think he'd prefer... I don't know.
Right now, why would you?
Exactly.
You're better than them right now.
Exactly, yeah.
But Dele Alli, should he start the Euros?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Now, can you take your Spurs hat off and tell us if you think that's generally the case, or is it because you love him? Is it like
love Dele Alli, mate. I don't know. I don't know if I can ever take my Spurs hat off. He should certainly go to the Euros.
Oh yeah, without a doubt.
And I'd start him.
Don't have a Spurs hat on, nor have I ever owned a Spurs hat.
No, me neither.
But I think Dele Alli is really exciting.
Last thing about the FA Cup before we move on is I want to talk about Liverpool, because it was a really good interview. I don't know if you saw it, Klopp's pre-match interview. He talks all about the game, and then they pan the camera out and they show it, because Exeter's like interview room is just in their kitchen
by a basin.
It's like
got
a little sink next to him and stuff.
Yeah.
But which is one of the beautiful things about the FA Cup.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing about the Liverpool game is Klopp was actually playing players he'd not even seen play before.
Ever.
Like, he'd only seen videos of two or three of the academy boys that he played.
And I bet he fast-forwarded through them.
Exactly.
Well.
And did he watch them in training?
They hadn't even trained with his squad, some of the boys.
Really?
Because that's not just, you know, an FA Cup thing. That's mostly injury issues.
Yeah, well, the thing at the moment is that Klopp is in a real predicament, because if he does play an absolute the best team he can do against Exeter, and say two get injuries, which isn't out of the realms of impossibility, then he's buggered. I mean, he's got nothing for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
I saw someone tweet about it. There's a whole squad, not just a starting 11. There's a 15-man squad of injured Liverpool players that fit in every position.
Yeah.
So it's worrying for Klopp.
Well, the only centre back they've got fit right now is that Iori guy they've called back from Villa, who wasn't playing for Villa.
Yeah.
Villa are the worst defensive team.
If you can't get in the Villa defence, you probably, you know, have need to look at the lower down. Oh,
he's the only one not getting screamed at as they get on the bus by those fans.
I'd argue it's better to play James Milner at centre back than that guy.
James.
Is he fit though? Is he fully fit?
Well, no, that's the problem, isn't it? They're not in a good place, Liverpool. I think we are going to see Klopp do some business in the window.
Surely he wanted to anyway.
Yeah.
Even if they were all fit, because they were.
I think he did, but I think also that no big good managers like that really want to spend too much in January, because you can't get a good deal.
But what I think that he will get a better deal than Brendan Rodgers would have done in January, because people will want to play more for Klopp. And I think for English football, he's a great character to have. He's a nice manager, and I think everyone likes him.
Yeah, well, when he came in, there was an immediate contrast between him and Mourinho, because he was equally as charismatic but just nice. Mourinho was just miserable.
Just on Mourinho, I went to the Chelsea Scunthorpe game yesterday at Stamford Bridge.
Okay.
And Chelsea played some great football, didn't really lacked a little bit in the final third. Costa was still a little bit away with the fairies, but in the second half they started chanting Jose Mourinho again.
They still need to let go.
Lads, move on.
To be fair, I can't talk. We still sing Paolo Di Canio at West Ham every week. Another thing that sort of links for Mourinho discussion is something that happened between the last podcast and now, was Zidane taking over at Real Madrid.
Yeah.
Big appointment. He's had his first win. Pretty convincing. 5-0 in his first game in charge. Bale hat-trick.
Great hat-trick.
Just quickly, what are your thoughts on Zidane at Real Madrid? Will he be a success?
I think it's a really good appointment by Real Madrid. Obviously, they've gone through a lot of managers since Perez has been in charge and appointing. So hopefully, they'll be able to offer a bit of stability. What he's got the fans from day one. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. It's almost like they've got another signing. They're like they've signed a top player as well as a manager. The thing is, his ability as a manager, I think, will be a little bit in question because he's only managed their B team. Or
You've got to ask yourself, is it a great appointment from his perspective?
Benitez, for me, is the ultimate supply teacher.
He's got
the qualifications,
the ego, none of the swagger,
and he looks like one.
And the class will just revolt, and there's nothing. And then all of a sudden, he'll start crying. Then the headmaster will have to bring in someone more sexier and more bald. And that's where the
look, is that what you look for in a teacher, a sexy teacher?
And bald.
Sexy and bald.
Sexy and bald. That's all I wanted. And Mrs. Hamilton was brilliant.
I knew it was coming. I guess if Benitez is a supply teacher, then Zidane's like your mate's brother in sixth form who comes in and he's so cool and he's got a car and a girlfriend.
Benitez doesn't have a car.
I think Benitez is more of a dad who volunteers to go on a school trip than a supply teacher. Just the worst, worst man in the world.
Well, good luck to you, Rafa. I don't know what's next for you, mate. One other thing I want to talk about, it's quite funny this week, is I don't know if you saw the African Player of the Year awards.
Yeah.
So Aubameyang won. But Yaya Toure, I've got a theory on this. It's related to YouTube, so it's perfect. But I've got a theory on this. But basically, Yaya kicked off in a big way. He wasn't happy. Like, whenever he misses out on something, he blames someone, doesn't he? Like, he missed a birthday cake.
Yes.
He's having a go.
He's
having
a baby.
Basically, he's won it, I think, 4 years in a row, Yaya, or something like that. Aubameyang's won it, arguably for good reason. He's been amazing. And Yaya hasn't had his best year. I think Ivory Coast doing well made him feel like he was going to get in, but basically didn't win. And straight away he said that it shows how corrupt Africa is, and like it's like so out of order to Aubameyang. Basically, yeah.
He's done a Kanye, hasn't he? Do you know what I mean? And Aubameyang is Taylor, and it's just a bit cringe, really.
My little YouTube theory about it is, I don't know if you know, you guys know of KSI, right?
Yeah.
So KSI did a video of Yaya Toure about a month ago,
right?
And that's because Yaya, there was a different African Player of the Year award, which was the BBC one, which was all voting online, so anyone could vote.
Yeah.
And basically, long story short, when you're a YouTuber and you get to do stuff with footballers, usually it's because they want to promote something, right? And it's whether it's a charity or something, whatever. Yaya, people, and I don't know this for a fact, but having worked in the industry, this is what I'm putting two and two together. Yaya's people have approached KSI and said, we want to make a video of you because we want to promote the voting for the BBC award. Long story short, Yaya wins that vote by a landslide, arguably because he should have anyway, but there was a link in KSI's video that he prompts to go and vote for Yaya. So basically, Yaya Toure wants to win awards in a big way, is what I'm saying. Yeah. The one that he could control and help like this huge, huge YouTuber audience to vote for, he did. Yeah. The one that was voted by peers and people in football, he didn't win, and he's not happy. So basically what I'm saying is, if this is true, I've lost a bit of respect for Yaya. A lot of respect for Yaya, to be honest. As a man, not as a footballer, but as a man, it's not great.
He needed some KSI fans on the panel.
That's the problem.
Yeah. Is there a ceremony for this award?
For the BBC one? For the African one. Yeah, it happened on the weekend. I don't know if he went, but I know because when Aubameyang went, there was all the, which will come bring me on to my next point quite nicely, all the transfer rumour people were jumping on, Aubameyang's left Dortmund on a plane, he's going to Arsenal. Going to the awards in Africa.
The ironic thing is that with the award as well, Aubameyang also got a cake, so Toure was like twice as angry.
It's unbelievable. So to bring me on to my next point, a little game I want to play really quickly, transfer rumour generator game. Basically all we're going to do is we're going to ask you your birthday and off the back of that we're going to have to generate a transfer rumour. So I'll show you how it works. You give me a month, first of all, we'll do both of you and I'll do me as well, and that'll choose us a player, and then the day you're born on in that month will choose us a club that he goes to, and in the last two numbers of your phone number will give us the value they go for. So I'll do it first, you show how it works. Okay, so the players January to December are Messi, Aubameyang, Vardy, Ronaldo, Pogba, Kane, Bale, Felipe Anderson, Lewandowski, Ozil, Hazard, Alex Teixeira, the guy who's linked with Chelsea. So these are all players, I've done this myself, they're all players that are linked with people right now. I'll go October, which is Ozil, right? So we go linked, Ozil is my player. I'm born on the 15th, which is Schalke.
He's off to club. Schalke.
Wow.
And my last two numbers, my mobile number, are 76. So Ozil was going to Schalke for 76 million. This is basically the process that all the newspapers do, I'm told. So, Reese, we'll go to you next.
You're working for the Daily Mirror now.
This is what we do.
Okay.
Feel free to, by the way, listening, feel free to just put these links, these are rumours on Twitter, spread them like wildfire.
Get this trending. I
this
want is where it 76 started. Million Schalke in the trend. April
is Ronaldo.
Oof. Good stuff.
Yeah, Cristiano Ronaldo.
Do you need the date? Is that right?
I need the date.
30.
Celtic.
Ronaldo to Celtic.
Can I already imagine Ronaldo living in Glasgow? I mean, that is already a sitcom that we should be writing.
I mean, all of his cars would be up on bricks in 1 minute.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. He needs a hover car.
Yeah, more importantly, how much is he going for?
61 million.
61 million. The price is probably about right in today's market for Ronaldo. Do you reckon at 30-odd years old? But yeah. Just to Celtic...
I think he... Yeah, maybe.
Maybe fetch more.
So I've got the same Celtic. Month as you. So shall I change month? Shall I do... What should I do?
Do your anniversary.
What anniversary?
Well, let's just say what day in October are you?
27th.
Oh, so you're nearer November than me.
Yeah,
so we'll go so November.
Yeah,
it's Eden Hazard.
Eden Hazard.
Okay. On the 27th, he's going to AC Milan.
Okay, I mean that is
it's the most believable, probably.
Yeah. But for 0.7 7 million quid.
$7 million.
It's almost like Chelsea gone, right, we're going to scrap the whole team. We're going to sell all the assets for anything you want to bid.
It's like Chelsea have lost a bet. They're doing a forfeit for something.
Well, I talked about this in my Dream Team article this week. If an offer did come in for Eden Hazard this window, you'd have to, and it was not 7 million, obviously, but a decent offer, because Real Madrid, for example, have been linked to him over the years, mm-hmm. and they came in and bidded 40, 50 million for him.
Yeah.
Would you consider it as Chelsea? Because do you think his lapse in form is a permanent thing, or do you think he's going to find it again? Regardless of that, if you get 50 mil offer for Hazard, is that good enough to sell?
I like Hazard. I think he's all right. I don't think he's the special player that everyone talks about. He scored a few good goals in the last year, but his form this year has been pretty shabby.
Awful.
And if Real Madrid's come in, 40 mil?
Yeah.
I'd take that.
I'd keep him.
He's Hazard, or is it because of the time in the season? Because he's not a great... I think I agree with Lloyd in terms of the money is worth it, but I probably would try and do it at the end of the season, because I think unless you've got someone coming in, Chelsea need to really put some performances together. He could be the guy out of everyone that can have the biggest transition in form.
Well, let's just say they get that other chap as well. Do you know what I mean? At the same time.
Yeah, if they get him, then maybe you consider it.
The Alex Teixeira guy,
yeah.
But if they get him, he's an absolute goal scorer right now.
You'd consider it, but I think you'd want Hazard in your club, whoever you were.
No, I think
he's... Because I watched the Chelsea... I was at the Chelsea Spurs game.
Clang.
And he was playing up front, and he was the only player they had who looked like he was going to do anything.
But he still
looked lively. He still didn't, but only because of an amazing Lloris save right at the end.
All right, well, that's the majority of the football chat covered for today. I want to talk to you more about yourselves, what you get up to, where people can find you, etc. Before we do that, I want to play a quick clip of you both. So start off with Rhys. This is a poem. Do you want to introduce it quickly, or do you want to just play it?
It's just a bit of comedy, a bit that rhymes, that I did in an Edinburgh show 2 years ago.
Lovely. Here it is.
And this is a poem. It's called What I Want. I want to not look like a child. And I know I've got that baby-faced boyish type quality, but I'm actually 48. I just moisturised properly. I want to be able to do magic tricks, but I want no one to know that I can do magic tricks, because I don't want to be one of those magic pricks. I want to be a better person than everyone else, or at least a better version, less obsessed with myself. I want to be feared and revered like Don Corleone. I want the confidence to call someone a goddamn jabroni. I want to be missold PPI so that someone will text me. I want to look a waiter in the eye and say, you know what? It's not okay that it's Pepsi. I want you to think I'm a genius as long as you can spell it correctly. I want to have sex with a woman, but none of them will let me. I want to become the voice of modern feminism. And no, that's not a joke. I just think people might take it seriously if they hear it from a bloke. I want to get mad bitches instead of getting bitches mad because they think I'm misogynistic with my diction so bad. I want to know what love is, and I want you to show me. And I want you to hold me. You goddamn jabroni. Yes.
Lovely stuff. Okay, so that was Rhys, and we'll talk to you more in a minute. Rhys, before we do that, we're going to play a clip of yours as well, Lloyd. Do you want to intro it?
Yeah, it's just a little clip that I did. It was on the BBC Radio 1's Live Lounge, I think last year or year before, I can't remember. But yeah, it's just me talking about, I don't know which bit you're using, but it's funny.
Okay, well, let's hear it.
I'm a little bit chubby. Have we got any other chubby people in?
Yeah.
Well, there's more than that. Like, I know we're an intimate group, but guys, come on. Like, I'm 16 stone at the moment. I've lost a little bit of weight. I've actually lost 3.5 stone since June, and there's no need to applaud, so I'll move on. Okay, that's fine. No, nothing? Okay. I was 19 and a half, like 20 stone, like a proper big boy, like mobility scooter breaking down kind of fat. Like I was a big lad. And like my friends were quite supportive, but also not. Like I went on a lad's weekend away. Now, the only good thing that happened was that Saturday night on my expense. Now, we were getting ready to go out, about 8 of us, 9 of us in this hotel room. I was ironing my shirt. I was a little bit drunk. And whilst ironing my shirt, I did one of the most painful things you will ever experience. Now, as I say, 19 and a half stone, topless, a little bit pissed. The iron just glided across my hairy equator in what is the most... Thanks for laughing. The most painful thing you will ever experience. I screamed. My mate Chris came out of the shower. Chris is a paramedic. He went, "What's wrong?" I went, I muttered the words I don't think I've said since I was 4 years old. I went, "I burnt me tummy." He went, "Quick, get in the shower." I was like, "What?" He went, "Get in the shower." So I got in the shower. He took off the shower head and started spraying me down, if I'm honest, what looked like a deleted scene from Free Willy, just hosing me down like some sort of beach vigil. It was degrading.
Okay.
So yeah, it was funny, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was lovely. Brilliant. Brilliant.
Not really for me, but, you know, didn't some people like it.
Didn't really. Exactly. Didn't, if it rhymed,
didn't have that,
I mean,
satisfying, you know,
couplet.
Ends tied up.
Yeah, yeah, like, it does help. So I'm not going to do that kind of cringe-worthy thing where I ask you guys to describe yourselves as comics, because I mean, I used to do stand up years ago back in the day, and I used to find it really uncomfortable when people say, "What sort of stand up are you?" Be like, "A funny one."
Yeah.
Like,
where did you gig then? How long did you do it for?
I did it for, this is actually, I don't know if you remember, Reese.
Yeah, we
met
each other
back in the day. Contact I ever had with Reese, I think this shows how long ago it was on MySpace. I think, do you remember or not?
Was it?
I think
Reese
wow.
left a comment for me on MySpace, but
you
no,
two and
I,
Tom.
I never got anywhere near the heights of your guys. I just used to do it. I did a load of the competitions. I was at uni at the time. Did the chortle thing. Did all the laughing horse stuff.
Yeah.
Went up to Edinburgh a few times. Never had a show, but I used to gig on a lot of things there. I did it for a couple of years on and off. But my main thing with it was I never, even though I loved it when I was actually doing it, I never really liked the idea of doing it as a job, like of travelling a lot, which is just a big commitment. I think a lot of people probably don't understand.
Yeah.
You guys are doing this a lot. Like, how much does it impinge on your lives, social lives particularly?
So the thing that I would say, if there's anyone that thinks, "Oh, I want to be a comedian, it's so rock and roll or it's so cool," I'd say that 15% cool, would you say that?
Yeah, for you. I'd say 15%. Yes, no, exactly. There's an enormous amount of admin. Involved in being a comedian.
Look,
and
more
also,
admin than you
what
ever...
sort of admin are we talking? Is this like for the Edinburgh show and
well,
stuff?
We just think, like, no, but even just things like, if you have a job, you have a job. You go to that same job every day, 9 to 5. You know where that job is. You know which route to go. If you're a comedian, it's a different gig at a different venue every day. So it's just trying to figure out even the small things of, like, how do I get to that gig? What time I've got to leave? Can I fit anything in between there? Train tickets. Then getting those train tickets in advance. Are you staying over? If you're staying over, can you get a hotel? Do you need to get a hotel in advance? So you are your own personal assistant. You know what I mean? So you're freelance. You're self-employed. So there's a lot of admin that goes along with it. A lot of writing. So the performance side of it is at the very start of it quite tiny, and you're doing 5 minutes at the start, 5-10 minutes. You know, once you get a bit better and once you start working at it, then it's great because you can do 20 minutes 30 minutes. You're getting money in. Are you getting paid yet? Are you getting money, you're getting money in? And then you do Edinburgh shows. So it is great, but there's so much admin and there's so much hard work. If you're starting out, I mean, it's not glamorous at all. You're going to, as I'm sure you know, rooms above pubs towns that you've never heard of.
I'll tell you an interesting fact, because you touched on it there. Obviously, when you start, you generally have quite a small slot, five minutes or whatever, and then you can grow to do longer. My first ever gig was half an hour.
What?
Wow.
Basically, it was a...
Who books that?
It was dodgy. It was basically, I can't remember where someone... I don't know. I think it was some kind of website I'd registered on or something. Yeah. And I don't know if you ever did this, but I had some advice from someone at the first start, which was when you first start and you want to get as many gigs as possible, you need to just lie a little bit to get more gigs. So you have to say, like, you're more experienced than you are, etc. So I'll be like, "Yeah, I've never done a gig before." I'd done this thing at school, which I talked about before in a video, which was this, like, we had this, like, comedy debating club at school where we used to just go in front of the whole school and do this. It was basically stand up.
Yeah.
So that was my only experience I'd had. So I went to this gig, and it was above a club in Newbury. I was at uni in Reading at the time, and the guy basically thought I was a lot better than I was. It was not many people in the crowd. There was this hen party there who were horrible. I'd never dealt with hecklers or anything before, and basically what was really good about it, as much as it was like so many of the jokes just bombed and were terrible, not that there was much of an audience to really for it to go well anyway, The great bit about it was I got to do basically every joke I'd ever come up with at that point and learn it straight away, right off about 85% of them, never do them again, because I was like, right, it didn't really work out. But no, after that, obviously, I went back to the normal model of doing like your 5 minute slots or what have you, and then slowly getting more minutes. But
well, a similar thing happened to me when I first started, and this is going to sound like a brag, but the story will eventually become clear that I was very much the loser. There's things called gong shows.
Yeah.
Right, when you first start, and I'll just explain for other people, it's where you have to go up. People in the audience are given some. Three people in the audience are given cards, right? And you go up on
red
stage.
Red cards.
You go up on stage, and your aim is to last 5 minutes, right? But at any point, if people aren't enjoying you in the audience, they have the cards. They can hold up the cards. If all three get held up, you get gonged off. Right, so it's an absolutely brutal,
it's
horrible,
basically like Britain's
horrible
Got Talent
environment.
Situation.
Yes, it's the buzzers and Britain's Got Talent, and I did one of them. There's a really brutal one at the Comedy Store, right? It wasn't that. Yeah. It was like quite a small one, quite a supportive environment. I did one of them on like my fourth ever gig, right? And I got incredibly lucky with just like where I was on the bill and the standard of other acts. And I happened to win it on the night. So I beat the gong, and then they have a cheer off at the end for the only two of us beat the gong. I had a cheer off at the end for who would win. And also, I was like 17, so I think the audience were quite sympathetic to me. Just like went, oh, he should win, rather than these two 40-year-old guys doing songs about lesbians, which is true. And they don't do stuff anymore. But one of them, for a while, was the 118 guy. Anyway, so he's doing well. anyway, the prize for winning that gong show was you got to come back the next month's gig, next week's gig, and headline it with 25 minutes, right? Now, part of my set doing that five-minute gong show is I got to 4 minutes and did jokes about how I thought I'd get gonged off by now. I don't have anything else to say, right? So in a week, am I going
to
write 20 more minutes?
Where was this?
Probably not. It was at the Hideaway in Kentish Town.
Wow.
It's called Stand Up and Coming. Mm. Yep, good name. Anyway, went to do that set, that 20 minutes, and I approached it. I mean, I was the most arrogant man in the world. Like, I was headlining this gig. I was like 17, 18. Like, all these acts who were going and doing the gong show, I had heard of, and they'd been going a lot longer than me, and were great. And then I went on and like started this set and just had the worst death imaginable. Like, it was awful. And like, I happened to have seen Stuart Lee for the first time like that week, and he like was lying on the floor and stuff doing jokes. So like, after I was dying, I started lying on the floor and just like, I was just trying to,
it worked for him.
I was just trying to mimic everyone I'd ever seen in this thing of panicking. And I came off stage and thinking, like, I normally they give you a light when you've got 2 minutes left on stage or something like that, or when you need to get off stage. They didn't do that for some reason. I mean, I was begging for it. Came off stage and everyone was like, well, we do at least respect you doing your time. And then the woman went, well, you didn't do your time, you did 35 minutes.
Oh my
And I was
God.
Like, what are you talking? She was like, yeah, you massively overran. And I was like, God. And they were filming it, and she was like, do you want the DVD? I was like, probably not, mate. No. Probably not. Probably burn it.
Rather have a DVD of West Ham beating Tottenham 3-0. The other thing about you, Lloyd, it's quite interesting, is your singing background. We haven't touched on it yet.
No.
And I was wondering if you could do me a favour.
Yeah.
Some people have asked me to have a better intro for the podcast. I have this like sting of music.
Okay.
Would you be able to sing just something like "Welcome to the Spencer FC Podcast" in your famous sort of operatic voice and your own time? Any tune's fine, but I just think it'd be great to get it on tape.
Okay, so you want "Welcome to the Spencer FC Podcast"?
Yeah.
Okay.
Here we go. This is Lloyd Griffith. Everyone, prepare yourselves. Make sure if you're on the train, just sit down, calm down. If you're in the gym, stop doing any weights. Put the weights on the floor. Listen to the smooth, dulcet tones of Lloyd Griffith.
Welcome to the Spencer FC Podcast!
How good is that? I mean, come on. That is a great skill to have in your locker, isn't it? Reese, have you got any fight tricks on the spot?
No, nothing that's suitable for broadcast.
just talking about me again. On the Team of the Year video, there is singing in it, and that is me singing.
So
it.
I was going to ask you. Yeah. So it ends with you singing in the car.
Yeah,
but the
whole thing
that
is
you.
Me, yeah.
But it's not you in the full FIFA trailer.
No.
Is it?
So this is the thing.
Do you sound exactly like it.
Exactly. Well, this is the thing. So I got an email saying, would you be up for singing this opera thing for FIFA 16? I was like, oh, that's amazing. Yeah, I'd love to. And nothing came about. And then the video came out, and it was with Messi and Aguero. And then people were texting me, going, "Is that you? Is that you? Is that you singing? Is that you singing?" So I went on, listened to the video. I was like, "No, but it really does sound like me." And like, I've never thought that before.
Yeah.
And it turns out it was a Dutch guy, a Dutch baritone. And then when I got this job, I was like, "Oh, just let you know, I sound like the guy." And they're like, "Yeah, of course you do."
Of course
like,
you do, mate.
"No, honestly, I do." And then I sang, like, "Oh no, you do." So we put the singing in my Team of the Year video.
It's such a cool story.
You're a lot cheaper, so
it's so much cheaper. It is. Well, I was so much free.
I was amazed by that though, because I love that trailer, the original FIFA commercial.
Yeah,
is one of my favourite FIFA ads.
It's ever, great,
purely because that song. And it's like gold stopping, stopping.
And the lovely story is the people that I did the video with, they did the main commercial as well. So it's an agency in Amsterdam called Wieden & Kennedy, and so the guy that was working with Evgeny, who was a really good copywriter and like creative, he actually wrote the words for it.
Amazing.
And he's a huge football fan, so he was over the moon.
We had a bus. Lloyd had a bus when he was going around doing all this stuff that had FIFA on it, and we had a big FIFA tournament when we were going around Cleethorpes and stuff.
Who won?
I got to the semis. You got to the final, didn't you?
I got to the semis as well. Got knocked out by Mark Smith on pens.
Oh, so Smith was in the final. Did he win it?
Just in the final against this guy.
Evgeny,
and he, is the most keen. I mean, no one wanted to win more than him. He did win, but it was almost like we're gonna have to let this guy win, or the tide's getting smashed.
He's got a really lovely Russian voice. "So, how's your hands today? Is it okay?" You know what I mean? And he's like really trying to freak you out on this tour bus.
I made the mistake of getting drunk the night before and giving him some tips because he asked me for them. He thought. He had identified me as his main rival, but was going like, "How are you so good, man?" Knowing that I was really drunk, and I was just like, "Mate, you got to stop sprinting. You're sprinting too much. It's easy to tackle you." And then suddenly he stopped sprinting, and it's just impossible to play against.
Yeah, so it was good. We said we had an Xbox on the bus, and we just played that round England.
Which awesome.
I'm not gonna lie, mate. Living the dream.
Yeah, and all the more reason, we mentioned it earlier, but to check out that Quest for the Best video. Now we know it's actually you singing at the start as well, because that is awesome. That's such a good bit. All right, well, lastly, guys, just to finish, where can people find you and see your stuff, both in terms of gigs, Twitter, etc.? Do you want to give us a quick plug?
Yeah, it would be very much handy if you would come to my Soho Theatre show.
Soho Theatre.
I'm doing Soho Theatre in London. I'm doing that at the end of February, 23rd to the 25th, I think. It's my most recent show that I did at the Edinburgh Fringe. I'd love you to come to that. You can find me on Twitter at Rhys Jamesy.
Very good Twitter account, I have to say. Lloyd, I'm not against yours either, but that is something you're actually known for as well. It's like, I've heard people say you're one of the funniest people on Twitter.
Thanks, mate. Yeah. Some people do say the funniest, actually, but it's fine, say what you want.
Your family say you're the funniest on Twitter.
They don't, they hate it, mate, but because I'm slagging them off all the time. But follow me on there if you want.
And Rhys's show, I've seen Rhys's show a number of times because we do shows together in the preparation up to Edinburgh, and it's brilliant. It really is brilliant.
Thanks, mate.
And that is coming from me, and I can't stand the bloke normally. But
what's Lloyd's show like? Any good? I gave the opportunity there.
it's great.
I've done all my show. I've done my last year's show, and mainly I didn't get invited to the Soho Theatre, so that's why I'm not plugging that show.
But
you should go and see his. Cheap in it.
But where can people find you? Because we should mention you've both also got YouTube channels as well.
Yeah.
Don't upload as often as
I
do.
No, I don't. No,
but,
really.
But I do. Yeah.
How many subscribers do you think I've got? It's pathetic. I'll
tell you what. I've recently subscribed to you. And
have you?
More people should because your piano teacher. Is
oh,
it called?
Yeah, yeah.
Piano
teacher?
Singing teacher series. And your episode's not gone out yet.
I've
seen you the trailer.
Is that when's that coming out?
Not sure yet. In the next few months.
Also, when are you paying me for that?
In the next few months.
He's holding that up. It's the big finale, isn't it?
Yeah.
But no, that's really funny.
Oh, cheers, mate.
You've got some really good people in there as well.
Good, yeah. Hopefully that might be a bigger thing in, you know, I mean, it'd be amazing if it goes onto TV, but we'll see. But yeah, you can find me on Twitter. I'm Lloyd Griffith. Yeah, got my own YouTube channel with 87 subscribers, guys.
And growing.
That's good.
And growing.
How many have you got, Spencer?
Similar.
Yeah, 87.
How many have you got? How many have you got?
I've got 1.2 million.
Yeah. I mean, that's
amazing. Is that how specific you know it?
No, I know, but I think it's right now, I think it's about 1,235,000, something like that.
So this is the thing. Do you know how many Twitter followers? This is very ego. Do you know to the number how many Twitter followers you've got?
No, because once you get a certain amount, it doesn't tell you.
Exactly, mate.
It says,
totally, guys, yeah. So please follow me on Twitter so I can be in that same bracket. And
once you get your first 1,000, mate.
I'm going to...
It's all about having the K. You need the K.
I love a K. I'm doing my new show at the Leicester Comedy Festival called, I think at the moment it's called Rock and Roll, and then I'll be going up to Edinburgh this year as well. We've got both the same promoter, haven't we? So we'll both be up there.
Well, listen, guys, check them both out. I've had a few years off going to Edinburgh, but I'm going to go again this year. I'm going to come and see both your shows.
Mate, come and stay. And sit on our sofa.
Perfect, mate. And I'm sure you have a lot more Twitter followers by then, because the way you're going, as well, YouTube subscribers as well. Keep up the good work, guys, both of you. Thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you, mate.
Us. Hope Grimsby get promoted. Hope Spurs. Well, actually,
no,
I'm a West Ham fan.
Yeah,
so
don't
realistically,
lie to me, mate. I know how you feel.
Yeah,
fine.
Just keep doing what you're doing, mate. Thanks very much, Reese. Thank you very much, Lloyd.
Cheers, mate.
And that is the end of this podcast. Shout out to DreamTeamFC.com, our sponsors. Check out my article on there every week talking about football. Make sure you check it out. And I'll see you next time. Until then, don't go changing.